Bonjour, bonjour, bonjour. Welcome to the SBS Cycling Podcast. I'm Christophe Mallet and I'm your host and I'm joined by El Magnifico Dave McKenzie. How are you, Dave?
Oh, I am very good, my friend. Starting to feel a cold.
Wow.
And not the Melbourne cold, just by watching bike racing in Europe. What's going on? It should be getting warmer.
In April.
I know. Well, that sort of can be quite normal in Belgium.
Absolutely.
If we're talking Belgium.
You're referring about the weather yesterday when we record this podcast at Flesh Wallon. So today in the podcast, we'll talk about Flesh Wallon. Of course, we'll recap Amstel Gold Race and the fantastic victories, both victories at Amstel Gold Race. But first of all, Flesh Wallon, we have a very happy winner on the women's side, Kasia Njodova. Let's listen to her first.
It means a lot. I really hope that with that victory, I inspired a lot of people who are pursuing their dreams for so long, because I've experienced a lot of failures, a lot of second, third places. So I never stopped believing that as a team we can win another race. So I do really hope that that race will inspire a lot of people to just keep believing, keep pursuing their dreams, because their reward is always there waiting for us. The race was super brutal because as we started, it started to rain so hard and temperature dropped very low. But deep inside, I knew that this is my day. Somehow, I just felt it. And to be honest, the weather conditions were kind of on my side because I always benefit from hard races like this. So as a team, we just like kept positive atmosphere, even though we were all shaking from the cold temperature. Everyone was there for each other, and my teammates were amazing, taking care of me, bringing me warm clothes so I could change and just remain focused on the final.
So Kasia Njodova here for the winner of the Flesh Wallon. Let's have a look at some stats. First time in 4 years she wins a professional bike race.
First time in four years.
That's crazy.
What he
says here. I've got the thing. He says it's the 27th edition. The Polish rider defeated Demi Vollering. We'll talk about this. And she nets a first win after 1,770 days drought.
That is crazy.
Okay.
That is, for such a popular rider, you know, she's got this panache and she's got this real sort of, she's a racer. She's a real racer.
What's the other stat that says this and complete what you're saying, in that same time, 53 top five.
Yes. Yeah.
So 1,770 days without winning. How do you think she feels?
Look, I'm wrapped she won because she launches these big attacks. And I've thought in the past she's ridden a little bit too aggressively. Like it's cost her victories, I think, definitely. Whereas last night in Flesh, she actually rode it brilliantly. Vollering did Vollering, what Vollering does best. She's done this previously at Flesh, literally ridden tempo from the bottom.
And that's how she won it.
And
as well,
ridden them off the wheel, exactly. It didn't work last night. And
do you think, actually, quick interruption here, do you think riders, both men and women, are getting better at riding?
Managing their own.
Or managing those long attacks, the Vollering style.
Totally. I mean, you have to, you know, we can say it's a bit boring, or sometimes it is a bit boring, but the science helps. So you know where your level is, and that's why guys like who you love, Alaphilippe, they're out of the box.
Do I?
Yeah. They're out of the box because they go against what science sort of says. Van der Poel as well. You know, you attack, you have to recover, but somehow they don't need to recover. They can go again. But no, it's true. Riders are getting better at managing their effort and right down to the sort of one percentile. And Vollering, it almost worked for her last night, but Nuadoma just had that punch at the end and it worked.
And of course, there's so many good racing happening as well. There's Liège-Bastogne-Liège coming up this weekend. We will talk about
Liège. That's an Ardennes fest.
It's a
cold one.
Yeah, because let's talk about the weather.
Early on in the men's, it looked sunny. It was quite nice. But then it got brutal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brutal sort of 100 kilometres to go, a bit more than that even. And the one image I saw that was just, summed it up, was Matthias Schellemoser, the Lidl Trek rider, literally just shaking uncontrollably. He got mild hypothermia, they said, post, And they literally had to lift him off the bike and they had to carry him away to the bus. And they got him on and he recovered quickly, you know, some hot tea, a hot shower. That is the best thing you can do, is slowly warm the body up. But it was brutal. Absolutely brutal.
When you see races like this, is it part of you, the ex-rider, that are happy you're retired? do you actually don't?
You know,
I know there's bits of the racing you're missing, but not that one.
I remember doing this tour up around Metz. Metz, yeah. In northern French city.
Yeah.
And I just remember one day was absolutely brutal. It was really cold but dry at the start. Anyway, it started raining and sleeting in the second half and all of us were underdressed. Mm-hmm. Everyone was underdressed and it was one of the most brutal days I've had on a bike, and that reminded me of it because it's sort of similar area up in that top right corner below the Ardennes. But
well, when you're looking from Australia, it's kind of the same area.
Yeah, right. There's only a 500k difference maybe. But you know what else it reminds me of? I know I haven't checked the forecast for Sunday. I think it was when Bernard Hinault, I think it was with Renault, mm-hmm. and he won Bastogne-Liège in the snow.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was a brutal day.
All those iconic messages, images. And actually, I think that same year, it's in the 80s somewhere, but that same year, he also snowed on Flèche Wallonne as well. And I think he won it as well.
Yeah.
1 year he won it and he was in the snow. And
Don't mess with the badger.
Yeah. And all that wearing a wool jersey. Like,
the old wool jersey, I know. That's when they were back in. Well, they weren't back in, were in. It was a brutal day.
So in terms of the winner, so Stephen Williams, winner of the Tour de l'Under, wins here. Probably wasn't the pick you would have gone.
You couldn't have picked.
Absolutely.
My tipping comp I'm in with a group of mates, I'm pretty confident no one picked anyone in the top three of the men's. The women's, yes, was a little bit more not obvious. That was the order that was different. But the men's, no way. Stephen Williams was absolutely brilliant. When you rewatch the climb and knowing that he wins, I did that. I rewatched it and watched where he came from. Basically, he came from about 7th, 8th wheel. A gap opened up. He attacked. He was the first to jump. They all hesitated a little bit, and that was the difference. Kevin Vauquelin, the Frenchman for Arkea, when he jumped.
You were just shot, babe.
Oh, he was, yeah, and there's a little bit of me wanted him to win. Lesser known rider, but French team. You know, they don't win much.
Yeah, Arkea, you don't see the jersey that much.
Yeah.
Although they've got a sprinter now in Demar, but we might see a bit more of
true.
Them. But you're right in the way Williams won as well. One thing I've noticed during the race as well, Williams seems to be super prepared for the rain, because at some point he took away a rain jacket, and what was underneath? Another rain jacket.
Ah.
He was sort of prepared, where you had other riders that had to stop to put it on.
Oh, there was, crazy images.
He seemed prepared for it, for the actual weather. Can this make a difference?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. If you can slightly overdress, knowing that the rain is coming, if that's the case, you might just get lucky. You can't get the jacket off. It's the race is on. You don't have time to take it back. And then the bad weather comes in and you go, oh, actually, this is great. I've got this jacket. But if you can be warmer before that bad weather comes, if you're cold and you're underdressed and you have to go back and get a jacket, too late.
You never warm up.
No, not always. And once you get cold, that's it. It's very, very hard to warm up in that brutal sort of cold weather. So he was sensational. First Brit. Can you believe that? First Brit to win Flèche Wallonne.
Yeah,
I can't believe it.
And before that, only 12 nations have won the Flèche. So he's adding a new flag, I guess, to the race as well. It's always good when you have, I know it's not necessarily a monument, but it's a classic, and it's part of the calendar for a while now. So it's good to have a new nation, because the Brits have won so much.
They've won just about everything. That's why I'm surprised they didn't win this.
I was surprised as well when I saw this, that no one from Britain has ever won this.
So just to go back, Pidcock, a Brit wins Amstel, a Brit wins Flesh. Imagine if a Brit wins Liège and Mens.
That's
taking the three of the Ardennes.
Yep, absolutely.
Who would have said that back in the Badger era?
No.
No one?
No one. Person. Not even in English. Person.
No.
Let's actually go to the Amstel. But before this, just to finish on the weather, what was very funny yesterday, funny inverted comma, of course, is once they caught the bad weather, because they were going round four times around the Mur de Huy,
yeah,
the weather didn't move. If you're in a linear point A to point B race,
at
you
least.
Can see, like you can see some blue sky around you, yes. It gets better. But yeah. Here, they were just running in a washing
machine.
Well,
they might have been on the edge of it so they could see it, and then they turned back into the garbage.
Yeah, he was like running into the washing machine. So
that was, that was brutal.
So
yeah.
the win there by Williams as well is also a win from the upstairs, from the mental game point of it, because you have to be the strongest mentally as well. So especially launching the attack the way he believed in himself. So mentally, I mean, he could have been warm in his bones, but mentally upstairs, he was good as well.
Yeah, he was. And, you know, he backed himself in and now he's got two big wins on the board. Like he's flying the flag in a big way for that team. And, you know, I'm not sure, I haven't looked to see what he's program is, you know, in terms of grand tours.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be obviously doing one of them, I'd imagine. He's staring down the barrel of a stage win in a grand tour.
Let's call Phoebe.
Yeah.
She's the press officer of Israel.
Let's get on it, of course. Aussie Phoebe.
Absolutely.
Just another honourable mention. The Aussies didn't do great in terms of, you know, high up on the results sheet there, but Grace Brown, I thought, put in a great ride. She played a real team role. She was on the attack up the road for a period of time and played a role for a teeny Vita Muzic, who had a pretty good ride, actually. I think she was top 10, so no podium. But
former French champion in Vita Muzic.
Yeah, so good ride by Grace.
Yeah, and if you want to rewatch that race, of course, it's available on SBS On Demand. It's you just basically forget what we just said about the results, because if you want to watch it again. But
there's a 20-minute version, both the men's and the women's, and then the longer version.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. So it's actually worth watching just to see them suffer.
Just to see them suffering, yes.
Okay, Amstel Gold Race, which is another one of our favourite classics, all the way up in Belgium there, or Belgium, Netherlands, France. You know, we debated this last week with Mitch. But Pidcock, what a win. What a win by Pidcock.
Yeah.
And what a deserved win. I think Pidcock sometimes is a bit underrated. We forget about him when we talk about
Pogacar. Well, he gets overshadowed by Pog, Van Aert, Van der Poel, because they're sort of similar, those three.
Mm-hmm.
But he's finished third, second, and now he wins it.
He's a cyclocross world champion.
Yeah.
We always go, Van Aert, Van der Poel, cyclocross. He's a world champion.
Well, he's Olympic champ too, isn't he?
Yeah,
mountain
bikes,
that is.
So he's as complete as Van der Poel can be, or Van Aert can be.
He's very close to it. He's
tiny though.
You got to remember, he's still young.
Yeah.
He's still young. I think the big question is, how will he go? I'm not sure he's got a Liège in him yet.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what his biggest dream is? That he's got two dreams.
Yeah.
A Paris-Roubaix. And a tour, and a grand tour.
Paris-Roubaix.
Yeah, but he's not built for it. He's not. Is he built for a grand tour as well? Debatable.
It's interesting,
so,
isn't it?
So will we see a transformation in him? So will he gain 25 kilos to win Paris-Roubaix?
Geraint Thomas was a classics man.
Yeah.
When his career started, when he came off the track and started, you know, integrating more into the road, he was Northern Classics.
Mm-hmm.
And he was built for the classics. Wins the Tour de France. Almost wins the Giro. I mean, it's... And Pidcock, you'd say, is more tailored for a grand tour, probably.
Mm-hmm. So he has this dream of leading a race in a grand tour and going for a grand tour win.
Yeah.
Any grand tour, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's on the right team, isn't he? They've been there. They've won more than just about anyone else.
Yeah.
We've got to go to the women's, though. So great, Pidcock.
Yeah, just before we finish on Pidcock, and then we move to the woman, because incredible what
crazy,
happened at the women's race. But Pidcock, slight remark, he didn't like the beer he tasted. Have you seen that video?
Mate, get on board. Was it warm or what? What was the story?
I'm a non-drinker.
I mean,
but that was
pretty
funny.
To be fair, I don't want to hang it on. I don't want to give it stick to sponsors of cycling.
It's a rubbish beer, mate. It's a rubbish beer.
You know our good friend Jean-François Quinet?
Yeah.
A man who's well-travelled cycling events, you know, big fan of Australia and a big friend of Australian cycling in general. I remember having a discussion with him about beer.
Yeah.
And of course, as you know, I'm a massive fan of Belgian beers.
Mm-hmm.
Lived in Belgium for years. They've got the best beers in the world, the oldest, you know, all of the varieties. And we're talking about Stella Artois.
Yeah.
And he's like, mate, have you been to the factory, David? And I'm like, no. And he goes, oh my God, it's like dishwater. Have I got the accent right?
Yeah, you do.
He's like, no, no, serious. You don't want to drink it. You go to the factory. It is dishwater.
Yeah, I'm not going to name brands.
Sorry,
but it's this type of beers that are...
It's everyday pills.
Yeah, well, in France, if you go out with a mate and he orders this...
Which one?
Well, any of them. Any of those two.
Yeah.
You would just go... Leave it with me, mate. I'm what's happening? You got a money problem? You got. But anyway, yeah. So that was funny to see Pidcock struggling to enjoy that beer. But anyway, women's race. Hugo Vibis thought
world's best sprinter.
Exactly. That was handed on a platter, so to speak, to her
to the finish line.
To the finish line. The team did everything they could for her, including Vollering.
Yes,
the former world champion and allegedly one of the best, if not the best, cyclist at the moment, delivering her to the line, and she does an Alaphilippe.
You know what? And to be fair on Alaphilippe, he was not the first. There's been plenty before.
He's probably not the last.
Yeah. And Eric Zabel did it at Milan-San Remo, okay. I think, with Oscar Freire. Put the arms up, celebrated too soon. And if ever there is a rider that you should never, ever, ever think that you've got them beat, it is the GOAT, Marianne Vos. Incredible.
An incredible victory, incredible, everything's deserved because the team worked well as well for her earlier on in the race.
And we can't give her enough praise, Marianne Vos, but in the context of her career, for 3 or 4 years now, we've been saying, she's at the tail end of her career.
Yes.
She wins Het Nieuwsblad, she wins Amstel Gold. Like, she's won two of the classics.
She led the Tour de France.
Yeah.
She was in yellow in the Tour de France as well at some point.
Like, it's like she's getting
better
this year opposed to the last 2 years. We know she was coming back off some sort of fairly long-term injuries in the last two seasons.
So she's not a dishwasher beer, but she's more of an old-age wine.
Oh, she's a Chimay Bleu.
For people that know.
she is an absolute star. And I think we talked about after Het Nieuwsblad, and there is this debate, and it's a healthy debate about who is the GOAT of cycling. Is it Eddie Merckx? Is it... is it Miguel Indurain? Is it Laurent Fignon? Is it Bernardino? Or is it Marianne Vos?
Yeah.
Go back on the stats and the longevity of careers. Vos just about tops everyone, I think.
There's one we forget always.
Yeah.
Is Gianni Longo. When you look at Gianni Longo, we always forget her because he was pre-popularity for women cycling.
Yes, true.
Debatable and so on, but there's an era and so on. But in terms of if we look at, pro cycling stats, the page is rather long.
It's pretty long. Yeah. That's true. Yeah, so it's credit where credit's due, but
I'm not just flying the flag, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Do you know, there was a funny moment when I'm standing on French TV because they were basically saying, can she do this? This is a silly mistake. This is the commentary team is there, okay?
Yeah.
This is a silly mistake. No, you should know better. The co-commentator is Marion Rousse.
Oh, of course.
She's next to
the wife of
Alaphilippe, and fantastic cyclist, a fantastic commentator.
Yeah.
But they were all like, the two guys were like, how can she do this? This is this is not even a rookie mistake. And Marion Rousse just was, well, Julien did it. Julien did it. And they went like silence for half a second and they went, yeah, right. And then moved on.
No way.
Was it
awkward for them?
Yeah, I think they just got put in place.
Oh,
where they were going,
I love it.
All superlative going, this is incredible. She should not do this.
I love that Marion put, uses her own husband.
Yeah.
Puts him out, hangs him out to dry. At the expense of her two commentator colleagues.
But that was a funny moment. Okay. We've got Liège-Bastogne-Liège coming up. I think there's in our TikTok videos we did, there's a comment from Bridie that says, Liège-Bastogne-Liège is so good there to go twice. It's a great race, Liège-Bastogne-Liège, because you go one way, then you turn around and then you come back.
It is. It's the oldest classic in the world, oldest bike race in the world. And you can argue one day bike races, it's the toughest.
Yeah. And they finish the campaigns of classics as well.
Yeah, it does. So much meterage of climbing more than any of the other classics. So it's got historical elements. It's got, just toughness. And if the weather is not kind to them, we could see one of the most brutal editions.
So there's one mega favorite, Mathieu Van Der Poel. I think he's one of the mega favorites.
There's two. There's two. Come on, mate. Pogacar.
But no, okay. Let me finish
my sentence. You've moved on from your already.
Let me finish my sentence. There's one mega favorite on paper, and I was going to add this because he didn't play ball at Amstel.
No.
Every single rider were sort of wanting his wheel, trying to wait when is he going to attack. But then he proved that either he didn't have the legs or he wasn't bothered by Amstel.
Yeah.
Does that make him a super favorite even against someone like Pogacar, or Pogacar being the Pog and, you know, being just who he is, we on for a battle? Because the two teams as well, UAE teams, when you see the performance of the UAE teams at the minute and the Alpecin team, are we on for a proper battle royale?
Yeah, I think we are. I really think we are. I mean, you look at UAE, Ulissi, Damon Novak, Mark Hershey, who looks like he's got some form back. Finn Fisher-Black, the Kiwi, what a star he's becoming. And Joao Almeida. And then the full list isn't out for Alpecin De Koenig, but Van der Poel is on it because there was question mark whether he was going to race or not.
Yeah.
Seems like he will be. Yeah, I think they're the two favourites. I think that's, you know, the question I have is, can Van der Poel go with Pogacar in the last 30 kilometres, 40 kilometres, especially on the longer climbs? They're longer. You know, they're not the short, punchy ones that suit Van der Poel better. He's not a Grand Tour rider.
Pogacar
is a Grand Tour winner. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, arguably the best in the world still.
But Pogacar has got the Giro coming the week after.
Yeah,
so can he empty the tank? Will he empty the tank?
I think he will.
Like,
it's one day, and he's only emptying the tank for the last 30-40 Ks.
Okay.
But it is a 250-kilometre one-day monument. And there's a couple of former winners. Wout Poels, Bahrain Victorious. He's a former winner back in the Sky days. I don't think he can win, but it's pretty cool. We've got some former winners there. But I think it is. I think it is a two-horse race. I'm not sure. Again, I'll tell you who I'm really, really excited to see on the start list.
Can I see if I can guess?
Yep.
Jorgensen?
No.
No? Okay.
No, have another guess. I'll give you a hint. Teammate of Pidcock.
Bernal.
No. I'm really keen to see, because this is a good marker.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good marker for the Grand Tour riders at Liège. And if Bernal has a top 10 performance here, he and his team will be getting excited about the Tour of France.
Yeah.
Because his form is still building for me.
Mm-hmm.
He is still building off the back of a career-ending crash, or almost career-ending crash from 2 years ago. And this is the best we've seen him go so far this year.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really big test for him.
It's going to be certainly a very interesting race, of course, on SBS. And for the women, what can we expect?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting one, I think, with the women's. I feel like it's an open race because riders like Kopecky, I don't think, will feature or might not even be racing.
Mm-hmm.
So then you've got Nieuwendama, who's, you know, flying high at the moment with a win at Flesh. She'll be on the start list. She can win it. Ashley Moorman-Passio, same team as Sarah Gigante. She had a good Flesh. She's in her last season for AG Insurance Soudal. Can she deliver? I think there's a number of riders that, you know, can sort of come out of the shadows in the women's, more so than the men's. Vollering, of course, and I do not think Mariana Voss is on the start list. So it's a slightly different race, I think, for the women compared to the men.
Vollering, actually, quick question for you. Do you think the contract discussion are bothering her at the minute? Because
her team, I'm pretty sure, correct me if I'm wrong, her team have more or less come out and said, SD Works, that she probably will not be on the team next year.
Exactly.
It's done, isn't it?
It's done. They basically said they will not sign her again. So by the minute, she's not signed. So she probably knows she will be signed somewhere. Or
is she, and they're just not saying because they can't? I wonder. I think the deal is half done.
Okay.
It wouldn't surprise me if it's done. Or if her manager, it's a little bit of a gamble, isn't it? Sort of. I mean, or her manager said, we're not doing deals until post Tour de France.
Yeah, okay.
Because if she wins the Tour de France.
Yeah, the price is different.
You can pretty much write your own check, can't you?
Yeah.
So, you know, she's a defending champ.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting one.
I've pulled up the weather for the weekend.
Yep.
47% chance
of rain.
Maximum temperature, 9 degrees.
Ooh, snap.
That's what he said. 2 degrees max? In the morning, maximum 9 degrees on Sunday.
Oh, that's okay.
So we know apps can be wrong. Okay, technically, I'm just using an app.
That's pretty.
But the thing is, on the Saturday, it's 9 degrees as well, and on the Monday, it's 9 degrees as well. So it's
yeah, it's not going to change much.
Like the window is there.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah. So they've got a cold snap.
Yep. Yeah.
And generally down that area. The Ardennes, if it's raining anywhere around there, it is raining there, yeah. For sure.
It's if it's raining, it's pouring.
Oh, yeah. It's always so green and lush.
And if it's raining, it's there all day. It's ooh, not, yeah. It's yeah, not it going away.
Yeah, you don't get 20 minutes of rain. No, it's...
Any other news?
No, I think everything is taking shape nicely. I'll tell you what, just tiny little snippets. I know we've talked about it,
mm-hmm.
but I am excited to see the new revamped Pro League in Australia.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, I know it's got some time probably before it takes shape.
Yeah, it's still almost a year away before it starts. But still, there's a lot of energy around.
Yeah, and I think, you know what, kudos to Matt Wilson for being motivated and to do something. And it takes that. You need people that have sort of, you know, he's been retired a little while now, but you got to have some passion and some drive.
And what was good to see as well is that he's done the rounds on all the other podcasts, but he was here first.
Was he? Yeah.
Well, not here, but I went to the actual launch. So I actually spoke to him on the day of the launch.
Yeah.
So, but then he went into all the other podcasts.
Yeah, did all the others. Yeah, I don't
know why. It's fine, I'm happy with that. No problem.
so that's, I think it's exciting. And, I think there's some... Yeah, I think we all should get excited about that.
Absolutely. It's of course, this weekend on SBS. Check out your local guides to see it live or see it as a replay and so on.
Can you believe we're 2 weeks about from the Giro?
I know.
Can you believe that?
I do.
Grand Tour season.
Because
yeehaw!
Because that means straight after that, there is also the Tour de France coming. So
oh, my goodness.
We
my
start
goodness.
From Italy again. So there's plenty of Italian flavour to come around.
I can't wait.
Absolutely.
How happy will our cameraman be?
I'm working on my bolognese sauce and everything.
Are you? Good stuff.
My skills.
Good stuff.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.